and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
We are going to be talking a little bit about multiplication, fruitfulness, and the patterns of God right from the beginning, that God is a God of multiplication and fruitfulness, and God does not delight or take delight in people who don't multiply or are not fruitful. So since you got born again, God expects you to multiply yourself so that there can be many of your kind on earth, in your family, in your community, the village you come from, the town you come from. God wants us to multiply. He's in the business of multiplication, and it's a blessing to multiply and to be fruitful. As a matter of fact, it's a curse not to multiply and not to be fruitful. It's a form of barrenness, and God wants you to multiply. Tell somebody, God wants you to multiply. Amen. So we'll try, and myself and Bishop Obuda and Johnny will try and work this thing out together. Okay, so we have few scriptures to read. We want to establish the foundation. Genesis 1, 26 to 28.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
So God is fruitful. God is the God that multiplies. And two times the Bible talks about dominion. We don't want to dwell on the subject of dominion today. We'll take it up on another day. But dominion, it's important for every believer. Having dominion, especially in these evil times we live in, having dominion is very important. But we don't want to dwell on that. We don't want to dwell on anything but multiplication, fruitfulness and multiplication. Keep that in mind. Genesis 9 and 1.
And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. God wants us to multiply. He wants us to be fruitful in all things. Genesis 35 and 11.
And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins.
It's God's pattern. It's God's expectation and desire of all of us that we should be fruitful and we should multiply. God doesn't want us to be alone, and he doesn't want us to be barren in any way of life. And God never intended that any one of us should come into this world and not be fruitful, not multiply, and die and leave the earth. By the time you leave this earth, there must be many, many and thousands of your kind in your village, your family, your community, your city, your nation, and your generation. That is what God intended it to be right from the beginning, and it hasn't changed. And whatever reason and whatever has prevented you from being fruitful and from multiplying, it's not God and it's not the will of God. And today you are being acquitted and discharged from whatever it is that have prevented you from multiplying yourself. Hallelujah. We are saved to save, healed to heal others, set free to set others free, blessed to be a blessing, lifted to lift others up, empowered to empower others. So, do you like you? Ask somebody, do you like yourself? Do you like you? Do you think you are good? You are beautiful? You are wonderfully made? Then the world, tell somebody, the world need many, 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 many of your kind and your type. It means that you have no business dying. Tell two people, you have no business dying until you have reproduced yourself or your kind in thousands or in the thousands all over the earth. You have no business dying. As a matter of fact, you cannot die. Your death is prohibited by divine authority until the earth experiences many and thousands of your kind. It's a good place to put your hands together. Deuteronomy 8:13.
And when thy herds and the flocks multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied.
You see, God is in the business of multiplication. He wants us to multiply in everything. Everything you have must multiply. Everything must multiply. I went to my farm the other day and I was standing on the top of the hill and I was looking at my cows, and I saw them on one side of the hill in the place there, and they were all eating and the whole place was green and there were many, and I said, wow, they are multiplying. May everything you have multiply. Multiply to the glory of God. Multiply to advance the cause of the kingdom. Let your money multiply. Let the works of your hand multiply. Let your investment multiply. Your children, grandchildren, let everything around you multiply. Become plenty and become many. That is God's principle. John 15:16.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
Again, fruitfulness, multiplying. Abraham came on the scene, was called by God. The Bible said, looking unto Abraham, your father, I called him alone and I blessed him. And Abraham gave birth to a son, two of them, the promised one and the one after the flesh, Ishmael and Isaac. Out of one son, Isaac, came two sons. Then came Jacob, 12 sons. And out of Jacob came the 12, the 70, and the multitude that came out of Egypt. 70 went into Egypt. Over 3 million came out of Egypt by the time they were coming out. 70 went into Egypt. Over 3 million came out. They had multiplied. It's the principles of God. Say, I hear you. Jesus began with 12 disciples, then 70, then 120. On the day, then he had the 5,000 he fed with 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Again, the law of multiplication. The 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, and it goes on and goes on. Let's look at Acts chapter number 1, verse 15. Acts chapter number 1, verse 15, and Acts chapter 2, verse 46. I don't want to be preaching and teaching this morning. I just want to lay the foundation that all these things that we are attempting to do are in Scripture, has been done, and is being done, and we need to go back to biblical pattern. It's one of the only way we can successfully pastor and shepherd the flock. All of you, we cannot. I remember when Nana Mankwa was over 90, he was still coming to church, and anytime he didn't come to church, Bishop Obodai or Nyako will call me and say, Papa, he's asking for you. He wants to come to church. Nobody is visiting him. And sometimes he will cry when nobody visits him. He was still yearning for the fellowship of the brethren. And we need to go back to biblical pattern, to the home church, to the community churches, through the cell groupings, so that we can truly care for one another and be there for one another. Because without that, we can't care for people effectively and as we ought to. And we can lose people. Things can go wrong with people without us knowing. You know, one of my brothers died before Easter. He was in one church. I knew the church. Then for whatever reason, I think there was some offense. He left that church and went to another church. Nobody followed him up. He was ill apparently and died in his room for many, many, many days. Nobody knew it before they realized he was dead in his room, just lying there dead. You know, but that shouldn't happen if we are part of a body. And being part of a huge church like we have, it's very dangerous if we don't get into the cell concept or pattern and the home church. That is the only way we can truly care for everybody, love everybody, and help one another. That is the only way we can be one another's keeper. Outside of that is very, very dangerous because the enemy can strike individuals, and before you get to know it's too late, somebody is already taken and destroyed and dead. So we want to start putting that together. Acts 1:15.
And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120.
This was a home church. This was a home church that Peter was addressing, a home church. Acts 2:46.
And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house.
So there was the temple church like this. But apart from the main temple or cathedral, they had home churches or fellowship, community churches where they fellowship, had communion, break bread. They had communion. They prayed for one another. They cared for one another, home to home, household, coming together, praying and studying the word, community churches. Go ahead.
They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart.
Amen. Acts 5:42.
And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Again.
And daily in the temple.
The temple, this is prayer cathedral. So they met at the prayer cathedral, but outside of the prayer cathedral, they still had church. They still had prayer meeting. They still had fellowship. They studied the Bible. They cared for one another. Not in the cathedral, but in the home churches. That is one of the ways we can care for everybody. So one of the strategies to make sure every community in Accra, by God's grace, we have a home church. We have a fellowship where we can care for one another. So if anything happens to anybody, leadership will know through the new systems we put in place. With less than 24 hours, we must know. And especially in this technology age where we have, we can text, we can email. There are so many ways with social media we can really care for one another. So nothing must go wrong with anybody. We have to have a way to care for everybody. And nobody must say, oh, I'm too big to be part of the home fellowship. You know, if you are not part of the home fellowship, you are not part of us. None of the fingers or the eye or the nose can say I'm not part of the main body. You have to. It is critical. It is mandatory. That is the only way we can reach out and care for you. I was telling Bishop Oboda, sometimes they'll tell you, when I'm out of the country, I watch the services through the internet. And I'll say, I didn't see so-and-so. Where is he? I saw two ladies today. Last week, I was telling Bishop Buddha, I said, I haven't seen them for some time now, Pearl and her sister. Where are they? Find them for me. Look out for them. I check on people every time. But we really don't have to do that. If people are part of the sales unit, they will always be cared for. They will never feel like they are not loved. And I know there are so many people in this house who feel like we don't care. And it's the truth. I mean, if I take the microphone around right now, there are so many of you who will criticize and prosecute us right now. That we don't care. And the truth of the matter is that we can't care for everybody, but through the home care system or the cell system, we can care, love, be there for everybody. See, I hear you. Acts chapter 8, let's do 8, 1 to 3, then we come to 12. Thank you.
And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women committed.
Every house, they had a church. They had cells unit in every community. Every house in every community, they were having fellowship. So when they didn't go to the main temple in their community, they were cared for. Children were cared for. The youth were cared for. So nobody fell out of sight of leadership. Everybody was cared for. Acts chapter 12, verse 12.
And when they had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together.
So
praying.
There was a church in Mary's house, and there has to be a church in your house. Turn to somebody and say, do you have a home church in your house? In your house? There's a blessing to have a home church. I'm telling you, it's so powerful. I've always had a church in my house over the years, always. From my father's house to East Legon to where I live right now. The first thing I did before I moved into my house was to build a home church in my house. So I have a chapel in my house where we pray and we fellowship right in my house where I live. You know, today, most devout committed Muslims build in their house all over this city today and this country. When they build their house, they build a mosque. They build their house, they build a mosque. They build their house, they build a mosque. You know, I was telling somebody, I think last Sunday, that if Jesus announces that he's coming in a man's time, a lot of Christians will go to the Supreme Court and take an injunction against the coming of Jesus Christ. Because we don't really believe that Jesus is coming home. Because the way we live our lives and how we put value on material things and money and how we build for ourselves and we amass wealth, amass wealth, amass wealth, hide it, amass wealth, we don't use it to advance the kingdom, it's very, very clear that we don't believe in eternity. We are building our heaven here. We are not doing anything for the hereafter. It's like our life is just here. But life is not just here. It doesn't end here. Life does not end when you die. It begins when you die. And how you live where you were here and what you did with money and time and your body, we will all answer to God when we stand before him. So don't think that you are just living your life and then when you die, you go to heaven. No. Everything is going on record. Every day of our lives, it goes on record. What you did with the time, the life, resources, talents, and giftings, everything will account for it. It's a very, very serious thing, you know. Very, very serious. Okay, let's go ahead. Acts 20:20.
And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house.
From house to house, house to house, house to house. In every community where our people live, there has to be a house church, a cell unit, caring for one another and using that to multiply and replenish. Multiply, bring the whole community in your area, the people in your community, to the home church. Sunday, bust them all and bring them to church. Sometimes it's difficult to bring them in if you invite them. But if it is in the community, you can invite them for Bible study, for prayer. They'll come. And through there, we can bring them into the main church. Amen? Okay, let's move on. Romans 16 and 5.
Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Asia unto Christ.
Greet the church that is in their house. So everybody must open their house for a church, a home church. Can you imagine people in your community, friends, loved ones, everybody coming to fellowship in your house church? That means where you live. On Fridays, when you go to Airport Residential Area at a particular time, the whole area is packed with cars. They jam everywhere. There is this guy who lives next to one of the embassy. He's a Muslim and he has a mosque in his house. And they go there to pray on Fridays. And everywhere is jammed with cars. And they just come and pray and go. How beautiful will it look like before God and man if there is a home church in your house that believers and people in your community can come and pray and serve God, worship God, praise God in your home. There's a blessing that goes with that, okay? So let's move on. 1 Corinthians 16:19.
The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house.
The church that is in their house. And if there's a church in your house, it's on record in before God and in heaven. There's a record in heaven. There's a record in heaven that there is a church in my house. Apart from this main church, I have a church in my house. And there's a record in heaven. Everyone that attends the church in my house, their name is known in heaven. And may God give you the heart to open up your house for a church that will go on record in heaven, that the brethren gather in your house. Amen. To seek, why are you so quiet? You don't want anybody to know your house. You don't want anybody to invade your privacy. Listen, in God, there is no privacy. Tell somebody that in God, there is nothing like privacy. So stop all this privacy matter and business. I'm very private person. You are joking. There's no privacy in God. No privacy in God. Your house is God's. If Jesus is Lord over your life, and your life is important than your money and your house, you must allow Jesus to also be Lord over your house. And if you have nothing to hide, then open your house and let's come in there. Eh? Tell somebody, if you have nothing to hide, I know you have nothing to hide. Tell them, I know you don't have anything to hide. So open your house. Let's come there. Let's have a church in your house. How many of you will want a church in your house? Wave at me. Just give God a praise, a wave offering. Some of you are still not sure. You are not convinced. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 16:19.
The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you. Much in the Lord with the church that is in their house.
Again, with the church that is in their house. There has to, you have to desire to have a church in your house. It's powerful. Tell somebody it's powerful. Tell somebody it's a good principle to have a church in your house. It's very, very powerful. Amen. Colossians 4 and 15.
Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house.
Again, it's clear. I'm going to hand over to Bishop Obodai now because we have to close on time for him to continue. We are just reading scriptures today. We just want to lay the foundation. So Bishop Obodai, I think you'll start from here.
Please put your hands together for the papa of the house. The 11 powerful facts about cells, and I'll just run through that quickly. Number one, it is not a new church program. One more scripture about the cell, about the church, home churches. Philemon verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2. And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. They also had a church in their house, to reemphasize home churches. So they met in the temples and they met at home. 11 facts of cells. It is not a new church program. It's been in existence since the Old Testament. When you go to Exodus chapter 18, reading from verses 14 to 23. Exodus 18, from verse 14 to 27. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until even?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, Thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So it shall be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee.
You know, so turn to somebody and say, do you know you are a ruler of 1,000 people? And to another, you are a ruler of 100 people, 100. Turn to another and say, you are a ruler of 50 people. And to another, 10. Amen. It's amazing that people are sitting down there who are rulers of thousands, hundred, fifties, and tens, and they are sitting there not shepherding anybody but themselves. It's serious. From today, you are forgiven and released. Amen.
If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. And all these people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard courses they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his land. Amen. So it is not a new concept. It's a concept that has been practiced right from the beginnings. Number two, the cell has no substitute for any large church because it makes a way for the church members to be cared for properly. Number three, the cell has no substitute for any small church also, because it is the most powerful strategy to build God's church.
Please write them down. It's important, Bishop.
Number four, the cell is God's own strategy to build his own church. Number four, it is a strategy for church growth and ensures ever-increasing church growth. By reaching out to the people in the community as a cell, the church grows right from the doorstep. And from the cells, the growth comes into the bigger church or the main church. Number six, it is the master key of church growth because it functions like how the human body functions. Our human body has many organs, but every organ and every part of the body is made up of cells. And those of you who have done a little biology, you know that the cell divides. So our body is renewed and we grow. The reason why we grow is because our cells are multiplying. Praise the Lord. Dead, old cells go off. Healthy cells divide and multiply. So you become taller, you become bigger. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the same way, as the cells increase, the church increases. The concept is beautiful, like my senior brother was explaining earlier. As the church grows, as the cell grows beyond a particular number, we break it into two because we don't want the cell to become a mega cell. A cell is not going to be 30 people, no. A cell is going to be maximum 10 or 12, praise the Lord. Maximum 14, that is even is the highest number you can have. By the time you hit 12, you must be getting ready to split up to another two groups. Praise the Lord. So as the cells multiply, the church increases. Amen. It's a master key. Number seven, the cell is not a choice. It is necessary for massive, healthy church growth. Amen. If they want the church to be healthy, you want the church to grow, then we must implement the cell system. Number eight, it is the outreach force of the church. Why? Because within the communities, we can reach out more effectively. It's been studied and it's been found that large crusades, exciting as they may be, are not the most effective ways of reaching people. The one-on-one, close contact evangelism, which is what we are embarking on through the cells, is going to help grow the church faster than mounting one big mega crusade and not being able to follow up the people. Because at the cell level, we are able to identify people, you know where they live, so follow-up becomes easy, and it's easy to maintain contact with them. Praise the Lord. So the cell is an outreach force for the church. So our cells are not only going to be for fellowship, they are going to be tools for evangelism, tools for outreach. Number 9, the cells will not work until the senior pastor himself is the driving force behind it. That is why Papa is taking the lead, because if he is not involved, there's nothing we do that will work, because we need the master, the senior himself, and the vision bearer leading the team. He is the arrowhead. He said you can buy a new, powerful, expensive car, but if you don't sit in the driving seat, it will not move. If you don't sit in it, at least you must have somebody sitting in it. Otherwise, it's not moving. Praise the Lord. He said, my car is powerful, but it will not move until somebody drives it. And the main driving force behind the cell is the vision bearer himself. And in our case, the Papa himself, the Archbishop, is leading the team. I think we should put our hands together for Papa. Hallelujah. Number 10, the cells become the leadership platform for the church. Is a leadership platform, because leaders are developed at the cell level. Leaders are developed. People are chosen, leaders of hundreds, leaders of 50s, leaders of 10s. It gives you an opportunity to prove your ministry. And as you supervise people, touch lives, care for people, train others, teach others, you develop your own gifts, your own talents, and you come up into higher levels of responsibility. Because the Bible says, he who is faithful in little, the same will have much committed unto him. Praise the Lord. Because the faithful in little, you develop your ability, and then you move upward from 10 to 50 to 100 to 1,000 by the grace of God. Hallelujah. May God raise you up to the place where you can handle a mega church, because your commitment in the cell system will build up your spiritual muscles to handle greater responsibility. Amen. Number 11, the cells make pastoral care and sheep effective. Sorry, and shepherding, I think. It makes the pastoral care of the sheep and shepherding of the sheep effective and possible, because there is no way our Father the Archbishop can know everybody, visit everybody, touch everybody's life. There is no way. It's difficult, even though he has a heart for it, because we are so many and we live so far apart. But through the sub-leaders, we will be able to touch each other's life. So there's no way he can do it by himself. But through us, the church can be more caring. So shepherding will become easier. Pastoral care will become easier, because we will be in close fellowship with each other. Amen. Bishop John Ayati will be telling us about the benefits.
Hallelujah. A very quick one. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the body needs to function together. And as different parts, the Bible says, we are all living stones jointly fit together to build a habitation for God. Each and every one of us must function and play our living roles and living parts. That is number one. Number two, say care and fellowship. There is care and fellowship in the body, which is a benefit that you and I cannot afford to miss. Number three, there's a follow-up. A follow-up creates a sense of belonging and family. In number four, we have the Obed-Edom blessing. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 11, the Bible says, "And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household." It's very self-explanatory. When you yield your home, when you open your home up for people to come and join you to fellowship, the Bible says the blessing of the Lord remains in your home. And I don't think anybody wants to miss that. So make your home available. And making your home available does not necessarily make you the cell leaders. So just in case you are scared that because you are yielding your home, you'll be compelled to be made a cell leader, that is not the case. You may also be yearning to be a cell leader, but you have to be trained. You must go through the orientation. You will not be given the privilege because it is your home. You want to control and direct how things should go. Everything must go according to structure and according to the purpose laid out. Amen. Number five, we have Joseph and Jacob in the house of Potiphar and Laban, respectively. I mean, it talks about the blessing. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 5, it says, "And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." So the blessing of the Lord comes upon you even as you yield yourself to this particular great cause that scripture has spelled out for us. And I know a lot of us are greatly looking forward to this particular blessing coming upon us. In Genesis chapter 30, verse 27 to 30, it also says, "And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake, and said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it is with little which thou hast before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house also?" Number six, the kingdom of God is advanced. As we come together, as we win souls, as we invite the community to come and understand what God's mind is, the kingdom is expanded. You have all these social vices and things greatly minimized. And the blessing of the Lord rests upon our communities, upon our homes, and the church as a whole, as the kingdom advances. Number seven, it blesses the community, as I just indicated. Number eight, it multiplies and grows the church. It multiplies and grows the church. And number nine, we have a church at your doorstep, which is a very convenient one. You can easily pop in at any point in time, fellowship, have your burdens offloaded as you join believers to pray, and have your needs met spiritually and physically. And number 10, we have known identity is not just as a statistic. You don't become a statistical figure, but you are cared for as a human being, as a person whose needs are taken into consideration, prayed for, cared for, and you also become very happy as you join that particular home fellowship wherever you find yourself. Amen. A few things I would like to maybe run through quickly for us, which are extra benefits, and I believe it will be a very great blessing to all of us. Let's put our hands together for Jesus as I find it. Hallelujah. I have found it. want to quickly run through 40 benefits of sales to church members. 40 benefits. Number one, a member becomes a known identity, as I've just mentioned, and not just a statistical number or figure, especially as the church grows. Jesus knew his sheep. John chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. Jesus knew his sheep. See, the voice of a stranger, they will not hear. You'll be known not as a statistical figure, but a human identity, enjoying the benefits and the pleasures of the house. Number two, as the church grows, the pastor finds it difficult to know the church members by name and their problems. But when the large church is divided into cells, it becomes easier for the members to be known. Statistically, our research shows that a pastor can effectively pastor maximum 250 members. Beyond that, crisis is created. And obviously, all of us sitting here are beyond that number. And as we break into the various cells, effectively, we are able to be taken care of. We take care of each other. We support each other. And the house multiplies and the glory comes to God as we enjoy the benefits. Hallelujah. Number three, the cells become the avenue of fellowship for the members. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Number four, friendship and companionships are developed through the cells. A lot of people come to church, sometimes not necessarily because of the word, but because they want to come and join their friends to have time. Sometimes they even divert into gossips and things. But friendship is a strong source of connection for people to come to church. Hallelujah. Number five, the church member is not lost in the sea of the masses of people. That is also self-explanatory. Number six, the church members become family members who know themselves. Number seven, they will have people to share their problems and their deep concerns, the deep concerns of their heart with. There are two reasons why people stay in church. Number one, the grace of God upon the pastor himself. Number two, the friends they make in the church. Hallelujah. Number eight, the church members are delivered from loneliness. The cell provides an avenue for loneliness to be taken out. You are cared for, whether you want to be cared for or not. Somebody will knock on your door with a smile on their face. They say, "Hi, brother, how are you doing?" You may at that particular moment don't want to see anybody's face, but you'll be compelled to shed off loneliness because the care and the love is there. Number nine, the church members don't suffer from neglect or don't feel neglected. 10, it allows the spiritual gifts and talents of the church members to be developed. They practice these gifts at a cell level. 11, church members learn how to win souls for the Lord with time because of their exposure at a cell level. 12, they receive even deeper understanding of the word of God that the pastor teaches at the main church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. That is where, because you will not have the opportunity to say, "Bishop, I have a question to ask." At the cell levels, you can ask all the questions and all the necessary answers will be provided there. 13, they have an opportunity to ask more questions to receive deeper understanding about the word of God, which cannot be done in the main church. 14, members will experience love and care from one another. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 45, it is over there. At the cell level, the members will benefit from being looked after by the other members.
Amen. Give a clap offering to Jesus.
Amen.
We'll continue on Wednesday. Bow your heads and let us pray. Did a good job. Put your hands together for him. Let's pray. If you are here today and you are not sure you are born again, you are not sure if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are not sure if you die, you go to bed tonight and you don't wake up, you are not sure where you spend eternity, we want to give you the opportunity to be sure.